Okay. If you recall, we left off last time. We had just discussed the issue of, centralized rabbinical authority. Should a qualified Talmud Chacham, Roi Lohora, listen to his own opinion about the truth, or listen to his colleagues? And we saw a stira between Horios and Zaken Mamre. And we saw basically three answers. Let's just review what we're up to. Here we have Zaken Mamre, which clearly he should not listen. He should listen to his colleagues. And Horios, which tells us that he should listen to himself. Who did we quote? I don't remember the exact order, but one answer we quoted was the Ramban. Right, says the Ramban. This is before they argue in person. And this is after they argue in person. Until they actually hear each other out, then everyone has to follow their own conscience because they haven't really exchanged ideas and been able to see whose ideas are more powerful. Once they argue and the other people say, we hear what you're saying, you're still wrong, then he just has to be mafal his das. At that point, his das is batal. A second answer we found, which was the Kovid Shiurims, he really says this is what the Ramban means, although, you know, this is far from clear. excuse me. And we saw this in the Be'er Sheva also, which might have been in the brackets, and the Divrei David quoted as Yiddish Omrim. So let's say the Kovach Shiurim. He says, this is a Ta'os B'Shikol Hadas. When they make a Ta'os B'Shikol Hadas, then he has to listen to them. Because they have their Shikol Hadas, he has his Shikol Hadas, he has to give him to them. Well, he makes an Okimta, though. Our Sug is only a Ta'os B'Dvar Mishnah. This is a big Okimta. We saw Chazanish also made this Okimta for other reasons. If you're willing to say that when in Horia should he have listened to them is only when they were told Bidvar Mishnah, then you can give this answer. And the third answer we saw was from the Chifetz Hashem. Chifetz Hashem and the Divrei David, right? Both of which sound obscure, but are written by figures we are familiar with, who said that Zaken Mamre is a case where deviation would be noticeable, such as a kumbase, when deviation would be noticeable and would split the Jewish people and would be seen as a rejection of authority. They told him not to eat something, he eats it anyway. They told him to, you know, wear tefillin this way, he wears tefillin another way. Then he has to give in to them, shelo yu torah kishtei torot, not to make a chok of Yisrael. What is Goren Horios? The Goren Horios is where the deviation would not be noticeable, such as a shevi altase. Okay, I think there's perhaps a sharper way than I had in the word last time. Many of the Rishonim do not sound like this. The Rambam says clearly that, you know, if they tell him you can be bovel a certain erva, yes, marry a certain girl, and he doesn't, says you can't, then that's a Zaken Mamre. The Ramban says on Chumash, they tell him to eat this chelov, he says not to. That's a Zaken Mamre. So it seems clear from the Rishonim that maybe the Rishonim don't go in this derech. They don't think that whenever you are being passive, you're not a Zaken Mamre, and that the rule is always to be passive. That's not what the Rishonim think. Unless you say, you make it okay to know. Even when being passive, there are different ways to be passive. But then you have to make a big okimta. You could say, even within being passive, there's a difference. If, let's say, Beis Din says this chilav is mutter, and I'm a roi lo ra, and I say this chilav is asher. If we're in a big meeting in public, and they're serving this chilav, and everyone notices that I don't eat it, and then I should listen to the Beis Din so as not to disagree, not to reject their authority. But if I'm just sitting in my house and no one's going to notice, or, you know, they give the options, would you like the beef or would you like the vegetarian option, you know, or the fish option, etc., then I should demur and choose not to eat it. So in which case, you basically just have to make it okimta. And our sugya, why was it a toast that he thought you should listen to Chachamim? Because it wasn't a case where it would have been noticeable and been a big deal in public. It was a case where you're sitting in his house, or where there were options, where it was a smorgasbord, he could have picked the other thing, he could have said I'm on a diet, etc. So it could very well be that even within being passive, you know, I suggested maybe Isher Yaseh B'Zadon, that you're only a Zakin Mamre if you're active. Okay, so just don't be active, be passive. Hey, that's Rishonim don't sound that way, but maybe closer reading the Divrei Davar Chaim Hashem would say it's not a matter of active passive, but a matter of nikar or not nikar, noticeable, or, you know, you can finesse the situation, and then you just have to make a big okimta. Our Gemara in Horio says that the guy shouldn't have listened to the Rachamim because he could have made an excuse or finessed the situation or not been noticed. But if it's a case you'd be noticed, then you'd have to listen to the Rachamim. Okay, so we have three possible approaches towards, half a second, whether one who knows better should listen to himself and the Chachamim. Either depends if they've argued with each other yet, or it depends how bad a mistake the Chachamim made. Did they make a valid mistake, as it were, an invalid mistake? Or is it a case where it would be noticed, or it would not be noticed? Morning.
Not that it's exactly the same, but by sitting and not doing anything, it's like a lav shame on myself. How can they punish him?
That is a great question. But the Rav said, based on the Ramban ala Torah, based on the Gemara says there are, if you ask, one second, how could they punish someone for not doing anything? So first of all, I'm not sure that's a valid question. We know that you don't get malchus for not doing anything.
There are three or four cases.
We never find another case of chayiv misa for not doing anything. You can be chayiv misa for talking without a maisa. We never find you be chayiv misa for not doing anything. But perhaps so, either over here in a chanami you can, or the Rav said that the zakin mamre is not killed for the aveira he did. He's killed for the chaloshem zakin mamre, meaning for the danger he represents. So if he's killed for the danger he represents, not the aveira he did, then who cares what he did or didn't do? He represents a danger of sectarianism, of factionalism.
He needs horah plus matzah.
Right, and also he needs to have taught it, at least at some point. So he needs to have a ma'isa someplace along the line. Right, if he just sat here and never said anything, then he would not be Zakin Mamre. He needs to have argued, and then the sort of straw that breaks the camel back, the final mark of the pot, just can be just not doing anything. Okay, I just want to brief, yes?
Would writing a shoot against the Sanhedrin come into one of these categories?
So if you don't say lasot, remember that basement? If you don't say lasot in your shoot, meaning if I write a shoot against the Sanhedrin, I say, lule de mistafina, I would think, I'll leave it to the sugyas, etc., etc., then I am not a Zakin Mamre. Okay, you know, I've seen different opinions in Pashkevilim as to whether that's lechachila okay or not. But I'm definitely not a Zakin Mamre. Even if I say the right halacha is this, if I don't say lasot, if I don't say and you should do it, or I don't do it myself, I'm not a Zakin Mamre. So in the intellectual academic realm, there is academic freedom in Torah. I'm not a Zakin Mamre unless I'm entering into the practical realm, which makes a lot of sense. I just wanted to point out one thing, which is, here's the question of, you know, what wins? My truth or the authority of Beis Din, right? But in the end, at least in some cases, Beis Din will win, right? Meaning, you know, in a case where I've argued with them in person, I come down to my hometown, it's machlokes between us and Shikul Hadas, and people would notice if I acted differently than Sanhedrin, then clearly I have to listen to the Sanhedrin. So here's the philosophical question, which I just gave some a chorus about. Let's ask the philosophical question, which is, why should I listen to the Beis Din al yamin shehu smol ve'al smol shehu yamin, if it's against
conscience?
No, not against my conscience. If it's against the true halacha. Why should I listen to them? Well, you mean she's small and I'm small, she's not. After all, it's not the truth. I'm doing falsehood. I'm doing evil. Right? How can it be that the Torah commands me to do evil? So here, interesting, this the Rabbi Nell, I put in brackets, was very upset. He quotes the Drush Sharan, gives lots of answers, and he says in the end, he says, you know what? I don't really like any of those answers. Lo nacha daiti mehem. The Torah cannot command you to do something wrong. Based on the Sifrei, what could one answer? One answer could be, and this is fascinating, one answer could be, this is what the Abarbanel and others say, the Ksan HaKabbalah says the same thing, I don't remember if I could that in brackets. He says, what does the Sifrei say? Well, how would you answer? Anyone here who's not a Baal Gaiva, how would you answer? I'd say, how could the Torah command you to do the wrong thing and listen to the Bezdin if you know what's right? If you're not a Baal Gaiva, what might you answer?
Who says I'm right?
Who says I'm right? The Torah's not commanding you to do what's wrong. The Torah's commanding you to do what seems wrong to you. But what are the odds? That you're right? Or that they're right? And that's the Meduyik and the Sifri says, the Rabbi, no, no. The Torah never commands you to do the wrong thing, to do the wrong halacha. Torah never commands you to do the wrong halacha. What does the Torah command you to do? To accept the authority of Bezdin against your truth? Because the odds are you're wrong. The Torah just commands you to be logical and assume that you are wrong for reasons you haven't discovered, discern, and they are right. Rather, it's likely that Bezdin is correct and you are mistaken. And he says, therefore, the Girsa of the original Sifri is right. Afilu marin be'einecha v'chuli. Right, says the Rabbi Nell, afilu marin be'einecha. Or, what does the Sifri mean by min shu svol svol shimon? Svol shimon, either afilu marin be'einecha, or it means when they make a harasha. But it doesn't mean that the Torah commands you to do the wrong thing. Even though Chazal Darshan, right is left and left is right, they don't literally mean you should do the wrong thing. That's the Abarba. Now, can't be that the Torah literally means for you to do the wrong thing. And we understand where it's coming from. Do the wrong thing in your eyes. That's because you're only one person and you're fallible.
The Torah accepts the basin might be wrong, right? So it's possible that you're right and they're wrong.
It's possible, but it's likely that they're right.
Okay. The
Torah always commands you to do what's most likely to be correct. How can the Torah command you to do what's absolutely correct? Rove, chazaka, etc. Okay.
70 against 1.
What?
70 against 1.
Exactly. Or even if it's 36 against 35, right? Meaning, what's the yesod? The yesod is you are never literally supposed to listen to Yamin, Shehu Smol, etc. Didn't it say you should? Either it means Marin Beinecha or it means Horasha. However, that's not what most of the Mepharshim say. The Ramban al Torah there says, he says, the Torah commanded you to do what's right and what's wrong, what Bezdin says. The Torah commanded you to do it, Al Das Bezdin. So this is, most Rishonim say, no. Torah actually wants you to do the wrong thing if Bezdin says so. Right? That's the Ramban of the Torah there. When Hashem gave the Torah, he says, follow the Torah the way Bezdin and Gadol interprets it, not the way we interpret it up in Shemayim. Right? This is, now again, the Rabbi Nell could have said, yeah, you follow against your truth, because what's your truth? Your truth is wrong. The Ramban and many others say, no, you should follow Bezdin even against the real truth. But why? How can you follow Bezdin against the real truth? After all, if they got it wrong, why would you do Sheker? So here, Why would you do sheker? Sheker being not just, we're not talking about logical truth and falsehood. You know, do you believe that, you know, there are, you know, an infinite number of x's, x, y, and z, so that x squared plus y squared equals z squared or not. But moral sheker, right? Spiritual sheker. You're doing something which is morally and spiritual evil. So how can you do it? So here, Adi Yerson wanted to tell me at first, this the Havmi of the Ran, one could say that, that's in the Drush, this is basically the discussion of the Drush Saran, very famous, one of the very, very famous, very worthwhile philosophical discussions of the Drush Saran. Not that the Drush Saran needs my Gushvanka, but okay, maybe at least my recommendation that it's something which would be enlightening for us in our time and place, to read the whole book cover to cover. But he suggests at first that maybe there is no absolute truth. Truth is only what Besdin says. Right? So one possibility is, and this is the Drushos Haran in the Havamina, he says, you know why you should listen to Besdin even if they're wrong? Because there is no objective right and wrong. There is no objective right and wrong up in Shemayim. There's only what Besdin says. Besdin creates truth. They do not determine truth. Meaning, what's this chiddush? Clearly, Besdin creates halachic psak. Okay, but Besdin doesn't just create halachic psak. Besdin creates truth. Right? So, in the Havmin, he says, the only truth is hachra'as Besdin. The only truth is hachra'as Besdin. There is no other truth they're trying to reveal. The truth is what they say. They create truth that sounds very postmodern, I know. They create truth. They don't try to they don't try to figure out a pre-existing truth. They create truth. The only truth is what Besdin says. What about Hashem up in Shemayim? So, says you go up, there's a Ritva who writes that when Moshe came up to Shemayim to get the Torah from Hashem, or apparently first he learned in the Yeshiva Shalmala. Moshe went up to Yeshiva Shalmala, and they learned you can tie it this way, you can tie it that way. Right? Like modern-day Litvish Yeshivas. Right? Not like the Shagas Aryeh, who says, there's Machlok to be shown him, and I'll prove to you who's right and who's wrong. Like modern-day Litvish Yeshivas, who says, there's a Rasp and the Rambam, let's explain both sides. Right? So he went up to Shemayim, they learned both sides, you can tie it this way and that way. He asked Hashem, knew, well, but which way's right? And Hashem said, I'm not telling you it's up to the Besdin of every door. Okay, one could certainly interpret that to mean that Hashem has no opinion. You know, it's what's right. If you're following the Torah, that's right. How you follow the Torah? Whatever Besdin says, that's following the Torah. Why did the Ran not like this? I apologize. I sort of maybe started this part as you're in the middle of the Havmi when he's already been mafrich this. Why is Ran mafrich this? Why does he not like this approach? Why does the Ran not like this approach?
Because he considers the positions to be absolute.
Right. Why? Because what chakir does he tie this into? He starts with chakira, right? Even the part of Zirax. I should have started a few lines earlier, but he like explains what he's saying. He started with mafrich. The famous chakira of whether the mitzvos have objective value and objective good before Hashem commands them, and then Hashem commands them because they were so good, or no, the mitzvos are objectively neutral. Once Hashem commands them, then it's good to obey Hashem's commands. We had this in Baba Kama. Most of us were here for Baba Kama. Remember what Chaim said, Tzvei Dinim? He said there were, remember Chaim the last year? About the Anshei Anatot from Yirmiyahu and the Tzedakah. He says, there are Tzvei Dinim to mitzvos. There's the objective Maisa and the Kavana. And he said, where did those come from? So this, I didn't remember the word that I mentioned about. He says, comes from the Chakira. Are the mitzvos objectively good? Because this action is objectively beneficial, spiritually, physically, morally beneficial. Or, and why did Hashem command us? Because he's so smart. He knows what's beneficial better than anyone else. Or no, the mitzvos themselves are arbitrary. What's good is that you're trying to follow Hashem's command and mekabel ol malcha shemayim. So, the Rabbi Chana says they're both true. Okay, that's the Hakira. Are the mitzvos good, as Plato said? Right? Did Hashem command them because they're good? Or are they good because Hashem commanded them? Okay, he said in slightly different Russian. So said the Drosh HaRan, if you say there's no objective good to the mitzvos, it's just good to follow Hashem. It's just good to follow orders. Then why? Because when you follow Hashem, you're sacrificing your own desires for Avodas Hashem. And Hashem could have picked anything, meaning instead of saying eat cows, don't eat pigs, he could have said eat pigs, don't eat cows. And it would have been all the same. The ikkar is that we don't eat things in order to serve Hashem. Instead of saying, give tzedakah and don't steal, he could have said steal and don't give tzedakah. And the ikkar would be, we do something for Hashem. Okay, says the Ran that he has a problem with this. He says, this makes sense if there's no objective reasons for the mitzvos. There's no objective reasons for the mitzvos, then what's the thing? The thing is just to follow halacha. Okay, so whatever Bezin says, following halacha, who cares what they say? As long as they say something and you follow it, you're being religious because you're serving Hashem. You're sacrificing your own interests for the sake of Hashem. So, he said, then this would make perfect sense. There is no real truth. The problem is, he says, that's not mainstream Jewish philosophy. That's a sheet in Jewish philosophy, but it's definitely not mainstream Jewish philosophy. It's actually the Ramban in Kedoshim brings a truckload of chazals proving that this is not true. There's still a sheet that holds it is. Okay, what will they do with all these chazals? I'll have to stay up very, very late at night answering, figuring out how to answer them up. But that's not mainstream Jewish philosophy. Says the Ramban, Ron, what's the objection? That this only makes sense if there's no objective reason for the mitzvos. If you say the mitzvos are arbitrary, Hashem picked them randomly. And then it's good to follow Hashem. That Hashem picked randomly, best thing to pick randomly. It's good to follow Hashem. Wonderful. But the Ran says, no, I don't think that's mainstream Jewish philosophy. That's not what the Rambam holds, that's not what the Ramban holds, that's not Pashup Shabbat Chazal. That's a very minority Shita. The mitzvah, why does Hashem command the mitzvahs? Because the mitzvahs are built into the fabric of the universe. And here, I don't want to get too philosophical. I don't care if the reason the mitzvahs are objectively good is because of their psychological, moral, economic effects, or because if you understood the structure of the flow from all the Olam HaSel Yonin, they open up the right channels. I don't care why they're objectively good, right? You could have whatever system of philosophy you want. The point is that Hashem didn't pick them randomly. Hashem told us things that are objectively built into the fiber of the universe to be good. If so, then if Bezdin gets it wrong, then they got it wrong. Then there is nothing. Then it's not good to follow them. Then it's bad to follow them because they mess up and told us to do things that are not really good.
But the reason, except for a few things that the Torah mentions, most of the reasons we come up with is because the reasons we said we had this, so we know what we're supposed to do, so we come up with a reason. But if it had been the opposite way, we could have probably come up with a reason also. So saying it's because of the reason is totally circular.
No. Saying it's... bringing evidence from the reasons we find is circular. But if you want to posit that it is because of a reason, that's a valid thing to posit.
Where do the reasons come from?
The reasons
we made them up because we know we're supposed to do it. We know we're supposed to, I don't know, keep Shemitah because it's good for the ground or whatever. I don't know. But if you didn't say it's not, it's good to keep the field working all the time. I mean, you could have reasons on either side.
Right.
We pick reasons because that's what we know.
Okay, but Hashem, who knows everything, he knows all the reasons better than us, and he actually knows which ones to pick for good reasons. Which we can't necessarily figure it out on our own, but that doesn't mean he couldn't have figured it out on his own.
Yeah, but maybe the Chachamim picked the wrong side.
Exactly. And that's why the Ram rejects this. He says maybe they picked the wrong side, and therefore that's not a valid explanation. You can't say the truth is whatever they say, because maybe they picked the wrong side. That's why he rejects it. Exactly. But since we hold there are objective reasons, maybe the Chacham got it wrong. After all, they're only human. Okay. But we hold that there is objective benefit to mitzvos. Okay, in which case, maybe they got it wrong. So says the Drash Aran, very simple, and this is also what the Chinuch says. He says just very, very pashut. He says, well, let me ask you a question, very simple question. And there's my simple yom in all societies, right? Every society comes to a mashbir like this at a certain point. The government says something, they are totally, totally wrong. You and your friends are doing what's right. You could rebel against the government, stand up for what's right. Is that a worthwhile thing to do? Depends on your personality, but what might someone say? After all, they're doing something evil. Should you stand up for what's good? You stood up for what's good. You said, I think this is wrong. And you were outvoted. You went to the Supreme Court and lost, whatever. So should you escalate? On the one hand, yes, you're standing up for what's good. On the other hand, anarchy. On the other hand, what are the side effects of what you're doing, right? Everyone knows, I mean, not every teenager, right? But once you sort of get married and have a job, as it were, you realize that it's not always good to stand up for what's right in this particular issue, because sometimes the price of standing up for what's right in this particular issue is harming the entire society, and you cause more pernicious effects than beneficial effects.
Isn't that exactly the Rambam's position, that the question of truth is lower in the hierarchy than the question of loyalty?
Precisely. Meaning, what does the Rambam and the Chinuch say? They say very, very pashut. They say the Torah does command you to do a wrong act. Yes, the Torah does command you to do something wrong. Why? Because the lesser of two evils. Better to do one wrong. After all, how often, again, let's not be Bali Gaiva. How often am I going to be right and the Sanhedrin will be wrong? Or is anyone going to be right and the Sanhedrin will be wrong? Not every day. The Sanhedrin aren't stupid. Once in a few years, you never know, because they're only human. Sanhedrin could be wrong, and the guy will have to follow them anyway and do yamin small and small yamin. So once every few years, someone will do a very bad thing. We take averus very seriously. Maybe they'll be eating chilev. Maybe they'll be eating nevela. Maybe they won't be yotzei tefillin. You know, whatever the case may be. Maybe something even more serious than that. You know, maybe they'll be executing someone in Beis Din who's really innocent. They'll be killing someone. You know, it could be very serious. But once in a few years, they'll kill someone. Worst case scenario. Okay, what's the other option? The other option is to weaken rabbinic authority and have machlokas in Yisrael and divide into different different factions and sects and lose our entire Masorah and lose the entire control of society. The other option is basically to indirectly cause many people to do many averus in the long run. So, therefore, because it's the lesser of two evils. What are the two evils? Occasional one-time sin or general anarchy and or factionalism. So the Torah says, yes, the Torah does command you, do your minis and do so as well. The Torah commands you to do something wrong. Oh, why would Hashem want you to do something wrong? Because Hashem doesn't always tell us to do what's right. He tells us to do what's best in the situation. You have a choice between two bad things. You have to do something that's wrong because it's the lesser of two evils. And clearly, I know this is not a 21st century way of thinking, but this is a rational way of thinking. It is better for society to have authority and unifying principles and a derech to keep everyone on the straight and narrow, rather than to have everyone anarchy doing their own thing, building their own universe, building their own religion. And it's worth eating chalef once in a while, rather than splitting into eight religions or having general anarchy, and you'll end up with tons of people going off the derech legamri. Okay, that seems very reasonable to us. It's a chiddush. The Torah mamish commands you to do an evil thing. Okay, but sometimes the Torah commands us to do an evil thing if the alternative would be worse.
You don't find today, I'm just letting you know, you don't have anybody, any who holds that, everybody holds that they're right, and Kovat in the Shahab, and it really doesn't matter what everybody else thinks, and what how much machloket there will be. I haven't heard that shikul from anybody.
Aha. So just to be fair, what you really need to say is that we have a terrible situation. Remember, I pointed out that I'm the biggest Zionist around here in terms of the Dinas Yisrael and the Geula of the land But inside our hearts, we still have a lot of gullus. And as Nami, you're pointing out, we still have a lot of gullus in our hearts. But I don't think you're true. If you had said, all the time we sadly see this, then you'd be right. But to say we never see, I don't think it's true at all. For example, I've spoken to many people in the Haredi community here, and I've said, look at this shita. Don't you think that it's not reasonable, and shouldn't you do something a little different? You know, don't you agree with me about this? They say, yeah, I totally agree with you about this. But we have a system here. And it's more important for me to preserve the system than to be right about this issue. Talk to your Haredi friends. You will find, you know, if you talk to your very modern friends, you won't find much of this, because that's not the modern world. Talk to Haredi friends. I bet most of your Haredi friends, if you go through 10 issues, at some point will say, yeah, it's true, we really should say Halon Yom HaTzvot. But you know, there's a community here. And in that community, that's not what's done. And if you do it, you are weakening the community, you're not being part of the community, and it's more important for me to preserve this community and to preserve the strength of all the good things we do than to be right about every issue.
On the other hand, all these communities, no, one could say...
So within one community, you see people saying this.
Okay, but not...
Okay, that's unfortunately because the... we're in Gullus. What can I tell you? But at least in communities, you have this all the time, and you know, and you have this in, you know, look, these are faithful historical decisions. You know, every country, when they found the country, someone has to decide, you know, am I going to do what's right, or am I going to say, you know what, I'll do what's wrong because it's the lesser of two evils in order to. Yeah, you know, in order to let the country going. I'm not anyone here a historian. I don't know. I should have asked my daughter if she saw Hamilton. She probably knows all those things. she didn't see Hamilton. That cost a lot of money. She, like, listened to it on tape. But YouTube or whatever. I don't know how you do this. Anyway, I'm sure at some point someone got there and said, you know, well, they're 100% wrong. Am I going to listen to the Supreme Court or not? Am I going to listen to this Congress or not? And either you decide, no, I'm going to stand up for what's right, and then your country disappears. Or you say, no, I'll give in because it's worth it for the sake of unity. And then, you know, go back to, you know, the, okay, without going into Israeli history, etc. These are, you know, so, and you're right, we don't have enough of that religiously nowadays. We usually have within communities, not between communities. But... you know, that's the point. The point is, it's worth doing one thing wrong once in a while in order for everything else to work right. Okay, then the Ran, however, the Ran's not entirely satisfied with this because he says that he's not entirely satisfied with it because he still doesn't like the idea that the Torah would tell you to do something wrong. What does he start? He starts by saying, well, maybe, which I apologize, might have been a little before at Xerox, maybe like whatever Bezin says is good. He says, no, that's not true. There's objective good and evil in the world. Like, averus are actually poison. And mitzvos are actually vitamins, whatever it may be. Let's say that part. Even if all the doctors tell you to take the poison, it's still poisonous. So it can't be that whatever Bezin says is the truth. So he says, you know what? It's worth it to swallow a little poison once in a while rather than losing the whole system. It's worth it to sacrifice this particular averus, the lesser of two evils. But he's not happy with that. Because he says, I still don't like the idea that the Torah would tell you to be poisoned. So he makes a second chiddush. Drashas Haran, he gives an additional level. He says, and you know what? It's not even poisonous. Well, not that it's not poisonous. He says the poison is counteracted. What does he say? He says the zechus of listening to Beis Din can protect you and counteract the detrimental effects of the poison. He even points out, here I'm not holding in his medicine enough, that if you have the right thoughts, the right circumstances, then the poison might not harm you. Obviously, he's not talking of very powerful poisons. Right, she efsher she mashech ma she yachrios and hedron hefsher benefesh klal gam ki achilu dvar iser she yomro shu motov she atikna she yimshach benefesh dar achrol mitzach hamoria toru dvar yosar arbet slow. What does he say? He goes even further. He says, even for the person doing the wrong act, the tikkun of listening to the chachamim counteracts the nezek of doing the avira. Right? So he says, it's not just that it's the lesser of two evils. In the end, not that it's not, the evil doesn't harm you. In the end, it's a harmless evil. Why? He says the tikkun of listening to chachamim, I'll read it to you one again, tikkun hahi yasir haroa asher hu mu'utad l'tialei b'nefesh. The tikkun of listening to chachamim will counteract the evil effect on your soul of doing an avera. So in the end, no one even suffers because this, like, some of the antidote, it is poisonous. They can't say it's not poisonous. It is poisonous. But sometimes there's an antidote that can protect you from the poison. And then he says he gives a muscle for medicine, which I don't totally get, because that's like a poison. But that's what he says. He says, even if you eat something really, really dangerous, if it's not really bad, then if you're, you know, in the right frame of mind, in the right shape, et cetera, then it won't hurt you. Unless it's really bad. Okay, what if it's really bad? It doesn't. Then the muscle doesn't help. Obviously, if you swallow a mamish poison, it's not going to help. But, you know, even things which are generally poisonous, it could be in the right circumstances, they won't hurt you because you'll have the right defenses.
That's what a placebo is. It's your mind is overcoming everything else in your body.
Correct. In moshi umuflag, unless it's, you know, right. Correct. Meaning, there's a certain point. And over here also, he's hinting at maybe, because he says, Bakshava, if you're listening to the Chacham, put your mind in a certain place, etc. Again, it only goes so far. And no one's going to say, you know, swallow cyanide and then take a placebo antidote and you'll be okay and do Zen meditation, etc. Yes? Maybe?
Who knows? What's chemotherapy?
I have no idea.
Chemotherapy is that take a poison and then we'll get chemotherapy in the body and it helps.
According to the Ran, he's doing an avera and he's using the eraser to erase it. But in the end, he did the avera.
Correct. In the end, he did the avera. That's what the Ran admits. He said, I don't want to say it's not an avera because it's something objective. So I'll just give one fifth answer, which is very fascinating, which is the Kli Yakar here. And then we will move on and get a little less philosophical and more halachic. But the Kli Yakar says something very, very fascinating here, which is based on a whole inyan, which we don't have time to properly go into now. But the Kli Yakar points out, I think this is a big yisod, which I've discussed in a different context, that elu ve'elu dirbo l'kim chayim. What does that mean? That can mean a million things, right? Okay, that doesn't tell us too much. But he says, what did the Kli Yakar point out? He says that really, things are complex, right? Nothing's like, we don't live in a world of black and white, right? Nothing is just usser. Nothing is like the platonic form of isser or the platonic form of heter in the real world. Nothing is just pure isser or pure heter. And especially those things which Talmidim or we in the Torah can argue about, right? We're talking about things which Gidolei Hador, big Talmidim can argue about, right? So they're obviously not pashut. He says, it's a fascinating question. How do you understand why people argue? One way of understanding why people argue is that there's a right answer. Some people got it right, and some people got it wrong. I think that's sort of the traditional, most old-fashioned way to understand
that's
why people argue.
Permission,
huh? There's a right, okay, and even Shikla Das, there's a right answer, it's just hard to prove the right answer. But there's a right answer, even Shikla Das, maybe you could say, there's a right answer, once I got it right, once I got it wrong. Says the Kli Yakar, no. Okay, he didn't invent this, the Maharal said at great length, and many Rishonim said this, perhaps more obliquely. Says the Kli Yakar, no. You know why people argue about things? Because there are two sides to every issue. It doesn't mean two equal sides. There are two sides to every issue. One guy sees one side of the issue, the other guy sees the other side of the issue. I'm talking about Shikla Das here, right? Right? Things are complex. Life is complex. There are two sides to every issue. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan says, why, when I wrote my Sefer, unlike the Shulchan Aruch, did I bring down all the different sheets of the Rishonim and how they interpret the Gemara, and not just the bottom line, how we paskin? He says, because the bottom line, how we paskin, is not the truth. The real truth is that it's complex, and there are different sides to the issue. And then, of course, we have to figure out what we do. L'maisa. But, says the Kli Yakar, interestingly, he says, really both sides are right. It's not that one side is right, one side is wrong. Both sides are right. They both have part of the truth. We definitely see this, you know, in even non-halacha. If you ask two historians for their opinion about something, they'll each have their opinion, and often the real truth will be some combination of both of them. So,
you know, they're arguing over whether something usher or mutter. What's the real answer? Is the answer is
complex. It has aspects of facets of heter. It has facets of isser. That's what Kli Yoker says. And the Kli Yoker says that's why in Horash Shah sometimes Bezdin can say in Horash Shah will go against what it says in the Torah. Why? Because things are complex. And even if it says in the Torah something's usher, that's because Lamaisa, it's sort of more usher than mutter, but it still has a mutter aspect. Therefore, occasionally we can rely on that. Okay, but that's not our topic. Now, says the Kli Yoker, he says, that's why, give me a second. Says the, here we are. Then Bezdin Shalmata Paskin, Poskim Torah, Darshu Tameh Minat Torah. Even if Bezdin Paskin the wrong thing, Hol Sheish Svaris Gam the Taro. But there is an aspect of Tara to it. They didn't Paskin Torah about something that's not Torah. Paskin something on Torah that is more Tameh than Torah, but it still has Tara to it. Smoch Rubashel Bezdin Shalmata Shkim the Taro, Miat Svarish Yishla Balavach the Taro, Is Rubashel Tuma. Kinos Hashem Koach, Bezdin Shalmata Lasso Svaris Lakan Lakan, Nis Rabba Svaris and Utum Tzad Tara. What does he say? He says, you know what, since things are complex, if Bezdin sees that something should be mutter, even though it's really usser, they're not saying something usser is mutter. They're saying something complex, which it's more usser than mutter. Something which is more usser than mutter is permissible. But it also has a permissible aspect. It has a mutter aspect. If it has a mutter aspect, then what they're saying is not so crazy. Then they're relying on a real aspect of reality, and therefore it's not that what they're saying is sheker, it's what they're saying is not the strongest aspect. What they're saying is not the most mainstream derech. But what they're saying is a valid aspect of reality. And you could just go a little further than him and say, and perhaps, you know, Hashem intended that these things are complex, and that sometimes perhaps Bezdin sees that it's kedai to rely on the more magal side. But they're not telling you something that is sheker. They're telling you something that is... they're telling you something that is a facet of the truth. And the way he expressed it in the halachic language is, the rov of the bezdis is mitzarif to the miyot aspect of heter to counteract the rov aspect of iser, and therefore you can rely on that.
But aren't you going far away from the word ta'a? You're allegorizing the word ta'a.
What he's saying is that a ta'os is not a ta'os that they got something completely wrong.
But that's what the Gemara is clear that that's what the Gemara means.
Okay,
so you're allegorizing
Whole. Okay, what would Rav Kook say?
I don't know. It's aschalto de gula.
No. That's not the important part of Rav Kook. That's just the historical tendency, right? The important part is the philosophy. Anyway, he says the Kli Yoker, he says very fascinating, and we really don't have time to develop it properly. What he says is, even if they matir something usser, it had an aspect of heter to it, and you can rely on that aspect. And maybe that's the difference between Shigal Adas and Dvar Mishnah. Maybe even not. Maybe only Super Dvar Mishnah. But at the very least, if we're talking about Shigal Adas, which is a more likely scenario, or even if we're talking about something technically Dvar Mishnah, it's not something which is impossible. Sometimes something maybe is technically Dvar Mishnah because, you know, their Rav said otherwise. That doesn't make it impossible, and they didn't know Rav said otherwise. There is an aspect of Heter, and therefore there is what to rely on, because they're not telling you to do something which is completely evil. They're telling you to do something which is, on the whole, not worthwhile, because it has more detrimental aspects than beneficial aspects. But perhaps, in certain times and places, it can be beneficial. And therefore, what they're telling you to do is reasonable. And here I'm adding one thing to Kli Yoker. He just says, the rov of Sanhedrin and starif to the miyot aspect of goodness in it, to make it okay. I would say even further, maybe if the Sanhedrin saw that, then perhaps they sense that that in their circumstances, it's kedai to do, and perhaps the beneficial aspects are worthwhile. So even if we would have objectively analyzed it to be more detrimental, perhaps in this circumstances, the benefits would outweigh the detriments, and it would be a good thing to do.
Isn't that in Pesach Halacha, you're mitzarif snifim together? which is a second day that we don't accept, but you start reading from a sorry.
Right, so this is again similar to the one Perush in the fifth, I think, Mishnah in Adios, which says, why do we master the day of the Miot in the Mishnah and not only the Rov? One Perush in it, which he takes, is that so that in the future time someone might see they should be Somech on the Miot because it would make sense to them in those circumstances. Meaning, if there is an objective truth out there, but the truth out there is complex, perhaps this gives more of a basis for why we would listen to Minshu small Shul Yamin, because there's not that there is no objective truth. That's number two. But that the objective truth is never purely Yamin or small. It's something that's more small we see as Yamin, or something that's more Yamin we see as small. Not the end of the world. Something that's more small we see as Yamin, because it has some Yamin in it.
Could this be the philosophical basis of Pshara?
And this could, if you were here for Sanhedrin, that was many years ago, I know by now, that's exactly what the Rav said. The Rav said that the philosophical basis of Svara, this is written up in one of the philosophical books that they wrote up from the Rav, maybe Reflections of the Rav, I forget which volume. The Rav says, what is Pshara in Bezdin? And here he argues on quite a number of Achronim. The Rav says, Pshara does not mean we'll do what's not true just in order to make everyone happy, to keep them calm, which is what others think. The Rav says, no, Pshara means instead of following these formal Bezdin procedures of looking at everything as black and white, which is, all a Bezdin can do using formal rules, rather we'll use our intuitive understanding and our broader perspective to see that this guy's partially right and this guy's partially right, and we'll just figure out what percentage this guy's right, what percentage that guy's right to make up Pshara. That's exactly how the Rav looks at Pshara, precisely. Okay, let us now move on in the Gemara. Moving on in the Gemara, we're up to the two dots. Zeh HaKlal, the two dots, sort of almost in the middle, Bein HaBeis. Zeh HaKlal Tol Ba'atzmo Chayev, La'asuyei Mai. What are we including by every Zeh HaKlal includes something? Which Tol Ba'atzmo include? La'asuyei Mevayv Behora. Someone who seems, it sounds like, rebels against Torah. What does Rashi and most Rishonim say this means? What does it mean to rebel against Torah? Rashi and most Rishonim understand that it means someone who generally, we all know people like this, generally does not accept authority. A lot of people don't like to. He never listens to Bezdin. And in this case, he listened to Bezdin. So what does this say? He says, I'm told of Bezdin. In this case, I listen to them. We say, hold on a second. If you accept authority, then you're actually listening to Bezdin. If you generally don't accept authority, then what does it mean in this case I'm listening to Bezdin? You can say whatever you want. You're really only listening to Bezdin because you think they're right and you're listening to yourself because you don't accept the authority of Bezdin. Right? It's like the Reform Judaism, which says, of course we follow God's commandments, but only the ones that are rational to us. So what does it mean? It means you don't follow any of God's commandments. Because if you only follow the ones that are rational to you, then you're following yourself. Right, you can only say I'm following someone else, but I follow everything they say. If I only follow what they say when it makes sense to me, then I'm following myself. And that's what Rashi says. Even the guy claims to be following Bezdin, since he doesn't generally accept their authority, he's not really following Bezdin. He's really only following Bezdin because it works for him, in which case he's following himself. Okay, that is makes a lot of sense logically. The Rambam, it's very hard to tell in the Rambam, because the Rambam in the Perush of Mishnah sounds a little like Rashi, but the Rambam in Hilchos Shgagos does not quote this case, right? He does not bring down any such case in Hilchos Shgagos. Instead, he brings down a case not found in our Gemara, which is if the... Well, let me read you the case. Rashi's Pshat, which is all the other Rishonim who we discussed explicitly, I really think is Prash Pshat of the Gemara. I'm not sure if I am convinced by the Kesef Mishnah here, but we will just briefly mention his Pshat. Says the Rambam, he does point out, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah does not quote Mevayv Behora, but he quotes one thing that's not in our Gemara. What's the one thing he quotes that's not in the Gemara? If he ate this, not because he listened to them, but because he decided on his own, then he is a tola ba'atzmo, and he's chayav a karpat. So the Kesef Mishnah says, that's how the Rambam understood mevayv behora. Not someone, we don't know. The Rambam never said it was shot mevayv behora on the Mishnah Torah. But he puts two and two together. The Rambam doesn't quote what Rashi says, and does quote something else that's not found in the Gemara. So maybe for the Rambam, Vat Bara doesn't mean he generally doesn't accept the authority vested. Means in this particular case, he didn't do it because of the authority vested. He just did it because of his own decision. And it's Mivai Bara, meaning he didn't either run this case. Okay, it's a Dachim Shad Mivai Bara. I'm not convinced. But what is Mivait Behora? Says Rashi and other Rishonim, says Biderech Klal Eino Mitzayet, right? Eino Mekabel Hora son. Right, Megillah, in general, he doesn't accept their Hora, so it doesn't matter what he says in this case. And says the Kesef Mishnah, Vedasa Rambam, be mikre ze heater bedas atzvo velo nipaas horasam. Oh, what's mevayv? Mevayv means he says I don't need it here because I've decided on my own and I don't need their horah. Meaning, if he says if it had never gone to Bez and I would have decided it was mutter on my own. It's nice that they agree with me, but I had to matter it on my own. That's equals mevayit. Now, it's a little funny because it's not what we think of mevayit. It's not rebelling against. It's more of like considering redundant and like not really taking into account. So, I'm not sure, you know, yesh l'ayin. Is the Kesef Mishnah right? Is the Rambam shot in mevayit b'rasa? Or no? This is not the Rambam shot. The Rambam uses the Rashi shot. And then, Tzarkiyan, why he didn't bring this down in the Mishnah Torah, so we'll leave that with Tzarkiyan.
Why isn't he amazing?
Yeah.
What do you mean? He thinks it's mutter. He thinks it's mutter. He's a shogi. He taka thinks it's mutter based on his own sock.
He thinks everything's mutter.
No. Oh, we're doing this case or this case?
The first one.
The first case. Why isn't he a mazid? Why is he a mazid? Because he thinks it's mutter. He thinks it's mutter. It's not. I don't mean Mevayit Boros and he doesn't care about how Lacha and goes and is not from. I just mean he doesn't care what the Bez and Agogo paskins. He cares what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. He just doesn't care what the Bez and Agogo paskins.
He's a Karoi?
What?
He's a Karoi?
No, he cares what it says in the Torah Sheval Peh. He just doesn't listen to this Bez. What does he say? He says, in Europe, I know real Gedolim. This Bez then, who are they? I don't accept their authority. You know, he's not a Karoi. He does everything in the Shulchan Aruch. He just doesn't listen to this Bez then. Okay, maybe he's an apikoros. Yesh l'ayin v'zeh. But yesh l'ayin v'zeh harpe. Someone doesn't accept rabbinic authority. How much rabbinic authority do they not have to accept to become a mazid as opposed to a shogi, to become an apikoros as opposed to a toa? But in this case, at least, since the rabbis happen to have agreed with him in this case, I mean, remember, he ate the chilav, they were matter. So it's hard to call him a mazid because in this case, he did follow their authority. Just usually he doesn't. So the answer is, maybe usually he's amazing. But since in this case he did follow their authority, you can't call him amazing. They said it was mutter, and he ate it. He just doesn't always listen to them. But he ate something Bezdin said it was mutter. You can't call him amazing.
But we're ignoring the fact that he agreed with Bezdin here.
No. Let's say he agreed with Bezdin. If he thinks it's mutter and Bezdin thinks it's mutter, then you can't call him amazing. Everyone thinks it's mutter. Okay. Going on to the Gemara. The Gemara continues. Tolav Bezdin. It also says Tolav Bezdin is part. It's also part of Zakhfal. What is that coming to be? Marabella. So you heard Bezdin the others of Ram. Even if Bezdin already retracted, he just didn't hear they retracted. And he followed them. Even if he followed them after they retracted, he still partook. He followed them. That's the next Mishnah. We're going to analyze it now. The Gemara points out. Have a headache, Tanila. It says that the next Mishnah. Why didn't you Marabella? Tani about the Mefarish. No, it's okay. We teach it for Remes, the word Reboy, and then Mefarish it. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel. Now here comes the monkey wrench. Our whole sugya is assuming, like our Mishnah, Yafet Shasim Boras Bezin is Pater. We even have Hakira. Why is Yafet Shasim Boras Bezin Pater? But Amar Yehuda Mishmuel Zutiver, only Rabbi Yehuda holds Yafet Shasim Boras Bezin is Pater, Bachacham, Rabbi Yafet Shasim Boras Bezin Chayim. And we pass like the Chacham. Right, the general usually pass like the Rabbin. Meaning we pass him against our Mishnah. We pass him Yafet Shasim Boras Bezin is Chayim. Obviously, if the Rove Klal Yisrael follows a Ras Bezdin, they're not each Chayim. Then they bring a Parvel and Dovashel Tzibur. But if a Yachid or 49% of the Jewish people follows the Beis Din, then they are chayiv their individual karban. How does he know there's such a chachamim? My Rabbi Yehuda. First of all, how does he know Rabbi Yehuda? How do you know the chachamim? My Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya im nefesh achas techta v'shgaga v'asosa v'il gimel miyutin. Right? And nefesh is one person, that's a miyut. Achas is one person, that's a miyut. V'asosa, if she does, right, souls are feminine, you know, we could say if he does, that's also a miyut. Only one person without assistance, right? Triple miyut. What's the triple miyut? Triple miyut is if you do it by yourself, you're chayev. But if you do it because someone else told you to do it, someone authoritative like Beis Din, then you're potter. Okay, what are the three miyutim? We saw them were in Shabbos. If you start the malacha and someone else finishes the malacha, you're potter. If two of you do the malacha together and you could have done it on your own, then you're potter. And if you do it because Beis Din told you to, you're potter. Three cases where if someone else was involved, you're potter. That's Rabbi Yehuda. And where's the Chachamin? My Rabbana, the Tanya, Adayin Ani Omrim, Miyut Kol Shachatu Chayavim Shein Bezim Vin Alidei Par. If, remember, the Pasuk says, Nefesh Achas brings a Karban Chatas, right? How do we know if many people sin, they bring a Karban Chatas? Many people do not ever show you they bring a Karban Chatas. They say, I only know that if a minority of people sin on a regular mistake, right? Remember, what are the two kinds of mistake you could sin because of? You can make your own mistake, or it could be Horas Beis Din. Here they're making your own mistake. Well, actually, we have to clarify that. I only know that if Miyat Kal Chatu, they bring each person their own Chatas. Shein Beis Din dealing in part, and Beis Din never brings a par for a Miyat Kal Shachatu. If Miyat Kal is Chosh, there's no par on the number. Rov Kal Shachatu, you've turned, but I might think if most of the Kals sin, they'd be Potter from a carbon Chatas. Sorry, Beis Din dealing in part, because Beis Din brings a par. Talmud Lomer, it says, Nefesh Achas Techatav Shachav Me'am Ha'aretz Vasosa. Me'am Ha'aretz, Ashilu Ruba Ve'ilukula. Me'am Ha'aretz means even, it didn't have to say Me'am Ha'aretz. Means even if the whole Am or most of the Am, they bring the same carbon. So whether one Jew forgets the Shabbos and does Malacha, or two Jews, or 30% of the Jews, or 49% of the Jews, or 51% of the Jews, or 100% of the Jews, they all forget the Shabbos and do Malacha, they each bring a carbon chatas to the Me'am Ha'aretz. So, in mind, what's the case? Okay, I got ahead of my Elam, Shigas Maisa. Shigas Maisa means they just made a mistake, not a hurrah, right? They made an individual mistake, like they forgot the Shabbos. Beis Din, Shalom Arav, Beis Din Me'am Betayim. Then what do you mean Beis Din brings a par? Beis Din doesn't bring a par for Shigas Maisa. Beis Din only brings a par for Horah, right? So that can't be the case. Shalom Horah, Beis Din Mimaisu, Shalom Horah. Right? Okay, there's a lot of redundancy here. The Girsa obviously is a little inaccurate, but we get the point that they're saying again and again. Beis Din wouldn't bring a par for Shigas Maisa without Horah. El of Horah. Must be his Horah. Fuck, he's sitting on Horah. Shigas Maisa. Meaning you can't say that Bryce is talking purely about Shigas Maisa, then why say Beis Din brings a par? You can't say the Bryce is talking about purely about a Ra, because the Pasuk is not puzzled about a Ra. The Pasuk is about Shigas Maisa, an individual mistake. Allah Hachikar. No, obviously, and this is Pasuk Shah the Bryce, they're bringing up a comparison from one to the other. Miyat Kal Shechotim Shigas Maisa Chayavim. Miyat Kal or Chotim Shigas Maisa or Chayav Shein Beis Din Yoli and Par Ra. Because Beis Din wouldn't bring a par if they're Chotim Beho Ra. Hahen Chayavim. And they would. Right, what is the Braisa actually saying? Let's just read Pashup Shot in the Braisa. What's the Braisa saying? Miyot Kahal Behora, right? Beis Din Ein Mevian Par, Haim Mevian Chatas Yachid, right? One for each person. Therefore, Miyot Kahal Beshikas Maisa. However, Rov Kahal Behora Beis Din Mevian Par Vehem Petur. They don't bring, and therefore Havamina that they're also Petur if Rov called them Shigas Maisa. After all, Miyot Kahal are Chayim Behora, so they're Chayim Shigas Maisa. Rov Kal or Potter Behora, instead Branson brings a par. You might think they're Potter Shigas Maisa. Yochel Rov Tzibah Shasu Shigas Maisa Yipter Shar Beis Din Mevian Par Behora Talmud Lomar Me'am Ha'aretz. Therefore, Mi Talmud Lomar Ha'aretz Afilu Ruba Havmina Talmud Lomar Me'am Ha'aretz Afilu Ruba. Okay, that's Pashup Shot in the Braisa. Therefore, we see the Braisa must hold that a Yachash Asabar is best in his Hayev, and that's the Makor of this stealth Shita of the Chacham. Rav Papa objects. Amar Papa Mimai, Dilma Lohain Velo Bezdin. No, that's not what it says. It says Rav Papa. Says Rav Papa, Dilma, they're also potter. Maybe this is what the Braisa meant. In Miyad Kahal, there's no par. In Horah, no one brings a karbon. But in Shigas Maisa, someone did, they're chayiv. But in Rove, where Bezdin brings a karbon, they shouldn't be chayiv in Shigas Maisa. Havmina Tamalo, Mayam Haaretz. And Rav points out, this doesn't really make so much sense. Okay. This is Rashi's Girsa. Why is Rav Papa wrong?
Because, hold on a second, said to Rav Papa, hold on. If Miyad Kol Bara, Bezdin was Potter and they were Potter, then why would that lead to them being Chayv Shigas Maisa? If they're Potter Bara, they should be Potter Shigas Maisa. They're Potter Bara, they're Potter Bara.
So, it clearly meaning, the question is like, what would be if Rav Papa was right? So, if Rav Papa was right, then, what should it have said? Then what? Says Rashi, which is our printed Gersa follows Rashi. Not even seemingly the Tosas Rashi didn't seem to have our whole Gersa. But Rashi, Alpi, our Gersa. Then, you shouldn't have known that a Miyad Kol was Chayav. Right? Then, according to Rashi, the Braisa should have thought at first that miyot b'shigigas maisa are beturin. Why? Just like they're beturin b'ara, they should be shigas maisa. They should have proven that miyot was chayiv in shigas maisa before they proved that rov was chayiv in shigas maisa. Miyot and darshind of miyot b'shigas ma'isa before darshaning chiyuv rov b'shigas ma'isa. Right, that's our printed gears in the Gemara, Rashi, and you know the Gersa that's printed in our Gemaras. Right, that if this had been putter, then they should have darshan, then they shouldn't have assumed it was chayiv. They should have said, have a miyad kol is pata shigas maisa, just like the pata hara. Kamash l'nyara, it's printed miyad kol is chayavin. Having a rov kol is pata, namar it's rov kol is chayavin. Tosfos and the Yabarma, quoted in the Tosfos Rush, don't like this at all. Okay, the first question of Tosfos I don't fully understand. But the second question today says, Tema, you know, how do they know from the psukim? Even if you know from the braisa, how do you know from the psukim? Okay, I'm not sure it's not good enough to know from the braisa. How did anyone know anything from braisa? They had no source. But the Ode, I understand, he says that, what do you mean? He says that, that, what do you mean? What's the, what do you mean there's a, they should have thought at first a miyad kol b'shigas maisa is peturim? Why would they have thought that? We know Yochid is Chayiv Shigas Maisa. The Parsha is Mamela Yochid. Miyad Kol is Yechidim. Okay, that's not such a strong Kasha. Well, Rashi answer. What is the language of the Pasuk? The Im? Nefesh Achas. Nefesh Achas is opposed to two. We might have thought of one person sins these Chayiv Achatas, two people sin their Pater Achatas. Sounds weird to us. Okay, but if that's what the Pasuk says, then we would have thought two people are Pater. Meaning, if one guy's Mechal Shabbos brings a Achatas, we would have thought if two people are Mechal Shabbos, they don't bring Achatas. Kamash Lama Yamar, it's even two people, and even 49%. So, that's what you can defend him by saying,
We should have thought of why? Because of the word achas in the pasuk, right? Meaning, not so crazy that we would have thought a mir is pater, shigas maisa. Maybe only achas is high. That's Rashi. The Yad Ramai is a better kasha on Rashi. He says that if you look inside the sifrei, or sifra, if you look inside the sifra, the previous Mishnah or the previous Bryce in the Sifra actually said that Mia Kol is Chayiv. So obviously it could have been how we know that they just darshan in the previous paragraph. I don't know. Maybe Rashi copied the Sifra. Not sure. That's Rashi. What does Tosfos say? Or
let's go.
What is, first of all, let's just do what the Tosfos Rush says, Bedas Rashi. If you try to take the Tosfos Rush, Bedas Rashi, and fit into the words we have printed in our Gemara, it's not going to work. He obviously didn't have all the words we have printed in our Gemara, but he's fitting into Rashi in whatever words he had printed in his Gemara. He says, even sharper, he says that if Rav Papa was right, then the Braisa should have darshened, then let's say a little better, should have thought that miyut kohol b'shigis maiso are peturim and darshened me'am ha'aretz to be mechayev rov kahal b'shigigas maisa, and not, or at least at first not, miyot b'shigigas maisa. That's where the Tosfos Rush is going a little further than our printed. Our printed said, version said, then the Braisa should have darshan, the Braisa should have had a hot meter, they're both potter. And then for first darshan miyot and then rov. He goes further. He says, no. Because actually, the Bryce and Sifri did darshan first miyot, then wrote in the previous paragraph in Sifri, they darshan me'am ha'aretz b'chayiv miyot. So he says, I have better shot at Rashi than our printed version. He says, no, the Bryce should have darshan me'am ha'aretz only that a robe is shigas ma'is is chayiv, not a miyot. An achas is chayiv, one guy is chayiv, because that's the pasuk. A robe is chayiv, but a miyot is not. Why do you chayiv a robe more than a miyot? Because think. The Hora, they're both putter, but Bezdin only brings a power for a rove. What do we see? Hashem cares about giving kapara to the rove more than he cares about being mechapar on the miyot. If Hashem cares about being mechapar on the rove more than the miyot, then Meshigas Maisa. Hashem should mechayiv the rove of carbon more than the miyot.
The
Ah, but according to our papa, I know the price shows the opposite. That's what he's saying. Saying because. Chafetz Hashem b'kaparas parov yoser mi b'kaparas hamiyot. Okay, that's what the Tosfos Rush says. What does Tosfos himself say? Tosfos himself said this whole thing is ludicrous. We would never have had a havamina that miyot kol b'shigas ma'is is potter. That's ridiculous. What does Tosfos say? See? One. Two. Why did I say three? Two. Three. Where do we have room for three? How about here? What does Tos say? Tos says that's ridiculous. We're never going to have a meaning that a mir kol b'shigas ma'is is putter. Why do we think that four people who do a shigas ma'is should be putter? That's ridiculous. Rather, he said, we would never have had have a mina that mir kol b'shigas ma'is are peturim. That's ridiculous. Nah, we've never had that happen, unlike Rashi. But what would be wrong? But then we should also
not have a Havamina, that Rov Kahal Bishiges Maisa is more potter than Miyut Kahal. It's not that we would have a no Havamina that Miyut Kahal is, that we would have thought Miyut Kahal is potter. We always knew Miyut Kahal was Chayav. That's ridiculous. Two people, of course, are Chayav. Why should two people be potter? But we should never have thought the Rov Kahal is potter. Why? Because if Miyut Kahal are potter Baho Ra'ah and are Chayav Bishiges Maisa, then why would we have a Havamina Rov Kahal as potter? They're potter Baho Ra'ah, should also be Chayav Bishiges Maisa. It's not that we should have put potter here in the Havamina, it's that we should have put Chayav here in the Havamina. Because they're both potter Baho Ra'ah, then if one is Chayav Bishiges Maisa, the other should be Chayav Bishiges Maisa. Okay, either way, according to our Papa, the Braisa wouldn't have worked. Right, according to Rashi, we would have thought potter here, and we would have had to either first darshan this as chayev, or not darshan this as chayev, just darshan that as chayev. According to Tosos, we would have known potter chayev, so we would have said also potter chayev, and not had this Havamina. Okay, in the end, we do have a shita of the Chachamim. Okay, now the word just asks. Notice, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim had no names. One Bryce said Rabbi Yehuda, one Bryce said Chachamim, and all of a sudden we say this Rabbi Yehuda, this is Chachamim, like we were nothing or something. So the Gemara asks, Mech di tarai stami tans, these are both stam sifras. Right, which is the Medrash on they're both stam sifras. We might think of Meshach Yehuda, so how do you know the first one's Rehuda, the second's Rabbanan? Saying something's Rabbanan is not so hard. Meaning, in a stam, everything's Rabbanan, right? Till proven otherwise. Here we have Machlok between these two prices. One of them must be the Rabbanan, one of them must be someone else. But how do we know which is the Rabbanan, which is someone else, and who the someone else is? Right, so the answer is, Eimet Ipcha, maybe you think the opposite. No, man shams lady darsh miyukiya gabna. Who darshens a miyut this way? Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda who darshens a triple miyut this way. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and here it has the Rabbi Yehuda. Zos Torah Sa'ola, he Ha'ola. Right? Zos is one miyut, and he is another miyut, and Ha'ola, the He, is a third miyut. Only this Ola, not another. Only Zos and not something else. Only he and not something else. Only Ha'ola, not a different Ola. Harel Shlosha miyutim. Three mi'utim. What is this talking about? We're not getting into the sugya if you have a pasul karbon and you shecht it and pour the dam on the mizbeach anyway and you bring it up to burn the pieces on the mizbeach, there's a thing called an olu lo yartu. Lo yartu. Yeah, once you put it on the mizbeach, you don't have to take it down, even if it's pasul. That depends how bad of a pasul it is. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't have to take it down unless it's one of three very bad, because Zos Ras Allah, Zos Ras Allah, He Allah, Mokidam, is Be'achal Alayh Adabokir. This is the Ola, once you put it up, it stays there. And it doesn't mean Dafkan Ola, it means any part of a carbon that is burnt on the Mizbeach, it's called an Ola. Like the Chelim of the Shlomim, etc. Or Komet of the Mincha, etc. So, he says, ah, but there's, so you leave everything on the Mizbeach, once it's on the Mizbeach, you leave it there, except for three things. Therefore, he says, we have three miyutim for three things. What are the three things? I think he says here, if you bring the dam outside the mikdash before you pour it in the mizbeach, or if you spill the dam down the drain and don't pour it in the mizbeach, or if you shaft it at night, okay, in the opposite order, those are the three exceptions. So we see he makes a triple miyut, so it must be him who made the... who made the triple miyut. Okay. must be him who made the triple meat. Even though this is a sort of vague parallel, what do you mean? Anyone who makes a triple meat must always be the same person. So here, you know, like, just because he makes a triple meat here and a triple meat there, how does it prove he's the same person? So I have, two possible answers. Number one is you could say, based on Tosafot Rashi on the next line, that keep in mind, Stam Sif, we have a Masora. The Gemara says, Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. The Stam Sifra was written by Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, we're going to assume everything is Rabbi Yehuda, even if we find some little hint in Rabbi Yehuda. Here, it's a little enough hint, and it's a Stam Sifra, we can make it Rabbi Yehuda. Or you could say, based on the question of the Yerushalmi and Tosos here, say, no, this is a real Shita. So either it's just a hint, it's just a hint. A hint is big enough to make it Rabbi Yehuda? Well, yeah, because the Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda, so one of these two must be Rabbi Yehuda. Because that's a Stam Sifra, so at least one of them must be the Stam, right? So therefore, this hint is good enough. Or you could say, based on the question of Shalmi Tosos here, really, three miyutim or three miyutim? Don't we have a rule that? A miyut or a miyut el rabos. So why are three miyutin, three miyutin? As a matter of fact, what does the Gemara say in Erchin? Oh, anyone learning Erchin now? Daf Yomi?
Yeah.
Daf Yomi Yidden, right? Daf Yomi Yidden have a tough time nowadays, right, with insomnia. Used to be until 2 weeks. Until 2 weeks ago, you could just count sheep and then calmly fall asleep.
Yes.
Now you start counting sheep, and one of them jumps back over the fence, and you have a minion aroy, and you're up all night. Okay, don't worry.
That's
a parashah.
That's a week ago. That's a week.
I said 2 weeks ago. I said okay. Sorry, not joking. Not timely. Anyway. What does it say in Erchin? It says in the parsha of Erchin, 10 times the Kohen has to evaluate. What does the Mishnah say in the beginning of Sanhedrin? You only need one Kohen, the 9 Yisraelim. Why? Because Ein Mirachamir El Rabos. If it says Kohen so many times, it means Yisraelim. Okay, so how come here it's a Mirachamir is 3 Miyots? Why don't we say, no, it's 1 Miyot and then a Reboy and then a Miyot? Or 1 Miyot and a Reboy and a Reboy? So, 1 meter and a reboy to reboy pie. Okay, it's a whole study there. So you have to answer. Tosfos brings two answers. The Rishami says it depends if it's odd or even. If it's an even number, ein mirach mirach ol rabos. Here it's an odd number, so they're all meals. And Tosfos says he thinks in the Bavli from the Doyek. Okay, I'm glossing over some details. A better answer. He says no. When there are three things to be mamait, you darshan each one is a meot. When there's only one thing to be mamait, and then it's mamaya twice, it must be going back, make a reboy like Kohen, mamaya Yisrael. There's no one else to be mamaya but Yisrael. So I say Kohen twice, must be mamaya Yisrael. But over here, there are three different things to be mamaya, so darshan three miyots. Okay, so there are two answers to this question of ein mirach mirach ol rabos. Maybe you can suggest that it's not such a crazy havamina. Maybe they understood other Tanaim would have said ein mirach mirach ol rabos here. That it's a machlokas Tanaim. Whether to say imi rachamir ol rabos or whether to say imi rachamir ol night, in this case, if you understand it's machlokas tanon that what to do with the mirachamir, then it makes a lot of sense. Ah, there's only one sheet about what to do with the mirachamir. So if so, then it must be Rabbi Yehuda. So what I'm saying is there are two ways to understand why you make a sushna. Why do you say three miyots is the same person? Either A, it's not really the same person whenever there's three miyots. It's just, we're looking for Rabbi Yehuda, a hint of Rabbi Yehuda anyway, it's good enough to be a hint. Or you can say, no, there's taka machlokas tanaim about what to do with three miyots. Some people say miyots, and some people say reboys. In which case, it's the real Rabbi Yehuda, because he has a real shita, that's a shita that other people disagree with, about miyotach or miyot. Okay, good question. You're saying all the other Tanaim didn't disagree about that on Shabbos. Okay, I hear your Taina. David's asked me, you're saying it's only Rabbi Yehuda Darshan this way, and other people would say Mirach Mirach Ol Rabos? No, in Shabbos, Rav Meir and Rav Shimon also Darshan this way. All right, maybe I'm wrong. It's a good kasha. Okay, Viter. So take it back. The boys ema a dainani omer l'masamot l'Rabbi Yehuda. The other option is how do we know which is which? Because the second price it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. The Katani Rov kol shechato bezdin miyot and par says that most of the color chote. This is the side point, not its main point. Bezdin bring the par. There's a machlokas later in the Mishnah. We'll see. There's a very deep machlokas whether bezdin pays for the par or the tzibur pays for the par. The Rabbi Yehuda omer tzibur device. Rabbi Yehuda says that tzibur pays for the par, not the bezdin, so it can't be him. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda omer shiva shvatim chodim zayin par. He says there's seven shvatim sin. The seven shvatim is seven bulls. The shvatim pay, not the bezdin. Okay, so therefore the second price can't be Rabbi Yehuda. The first price it must be Rabbi Yehuda. The Tosfos points out because Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. If we know the second one's not Rabbi Yehuda, then the first one must be Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that was successful. Rabbi Yehuda omer Shmuel, or whoever started out this, I think, was successful in saying that it's Rabbi Yehuda who says Yachin Shasavor is Bezin is Potter like our Mishnah. The Chacham say Chayiv. Rav Nachman will not be so successful. Rav Nachman or schools would do very Meir. It's Rav Meir who says Potter al Chacham. Rav Yachin Shasavor is Bezin Chayiv. My Rav Meir Rav Ranaran. How does it read as he gets from Tzitzna and Tanya? Ho Rav Asu. Okay, that's a very vague formulation. Ho Rav Asu. But it sounds like Bezdin was Mora and Bezdin did. I'm not sure what it sounds like. Horuf Asu, Rav Meir Potter Chom Mechayvin, Man Asu, who did it? Elaine Bezdin, it certainly sounds like Bezdin did it.
My tavan rabbanim mechayv. Why are the rabbanim mechayv if Bezdin did it? Vatanya yochel hover Bezdin v'asu Bezdin yochel chayavim. You might think if Bezdin pasket, if Bezdin did it, they'd be chayv par helim tavar. Tamal amar kol v'asu. No, you're only chayv par helim tavar if the kol does, not if Bezdin does. Maisa tali v'kol amar rot tali v'Bezdin. No, if the horaz in Bezdin and the maisa is the kol, you're chayv par helim tavar. Otherwise not. So clearly there's no machlokas with your chayv par helim tavar if Bezdin did it. Agav, if you'll ask, forget about being chayav parol dover. Are they chayav a regular chayav? This is Bezdin himself does it. That's what Tzarchim in the first Tosfos. Okay, Ela Horer Bezdin was Rav Kol. So that must be the case where Bezdin Paskin and Rav Kol did it. No, my time to Rav Kol. And that's classic parol dover. Why do we have Potter? Ela Lav Horer Bezdin was Rav Kol. It must be Bezdin Paskins and only a yachid or a minority people follow them. Uvahakem Iflugei Mar Savar. Rav Meir holds Yachshas Rosh Bezdin Potter, Mar Sav Yachshas Rosh Bezdin Chayiv, meaning there's this strange Horuv Asu. We're not sure what it means. It definitely doesn't mean Bezdin Paskin and Bezdin did. Definitely doesn't mean Bezdin Paskin and Rav Kol did. So maybe it means Bezdin Paskin and a Yachid or a Miyah did. And that's Machlokes that Yachid Shasav Rosh Bezdin. The Gemara just points out that no, meaning it can mean one of a million things, right? The Gemara is Docha. Amar Papa Dekuliyam Yachid Shasavar Bezdin Potter. Maybe everyone agrees Yachid Shasavar Bezdin Potter, like our Mishnah. Ella, what's the machlokas here? And here they bring down lots of sugyas from later in this parak, which we're not going to go into now because that's what the rest of the parak is about. Ella Bezdin Mashlo Tzibur Kamiflugi. Marsav Bezdin Mashlo Tzibur. Marsav Bezdin Mashlo Tzibur. Maybe they're arguing about if 49.999% of the Tzibur did it and Bezdin did it, and Bezdin put them over 50%. Did Bezdin count towards the number or not? Rav Meir says, Potter from a par Bezdin doesn't count towards the number. Chacham say, Chayav a par Helim Dover Bezdin does count towards the number. If you guys say, Ema Horu Bezdin, also Rav Shal Kol. Uman Chacham Rav Shimon Hi, the Amr Tzibur Maisi, U Bezdin Maisi. Or maybe, no, it's a case where Bezdin Paskind and the Rav Kol did in their Chayav par Helim Dover. So what's the machlok? Yes? Look is, how many par Helim Dovers? The Chamer of Shimon who says, not only does Bezdin bring, but the Tzibur also brings. The 13 parts. Each Shemit brings and Bezdin brings. And the Chacham and Rameir is only Bezdin brings. They both agree Bezdin brings. They argue that Tzibur also brings. Maybe it's only where only one Shevet Bezdin Paskin, and that Shevet followed them. Does the Shevet count as a nation or not? Right? States' rights. And Rameir says the Shevet doesn't count as a nation, so they're Potter from a power. Rabbi Yehuda said, the Chacham say, Shevet does count as a nation, they're Chayiv apart. Why? Because that's Rabbi Yehuda. The tiny Shevet Shasav Rosh Beistino, also Shevet Chayiv, according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'ibayse eima kon shechato shisha yirub shal kol, shiva af shishin yirub shal kol. Masnisa nami yirub shim ben ulazar hi, the tiny yirub shim ben ulazar or mishmo, chato shisha yirub shal kol, shiva shim yirub shal kol, chayyab. Okay, all these studies later. Maybe it's a case where Bezdin Paskind and a questionable majority of the nation followed. How was it a questionable majority? Maybe it was six shvatim, which are not a majority, but it was most of the population, right? Electoral college versus popular vote, right? Maybe it was six shvatim, but maybe it was six shvatim, but 51% of the population, or seven shvatim, but 49% of the population. In which case, Rav Meir says, Potter, because it's not a rove, no part of a part of the daughter, and the Chacham Rav Shimon Lazar says, your chayiv, that does count as a rove. Okay, all these other possibilities you're not going to do. Now, Kitzer, Chaim, when you get a chance, please. Or a dubbed.
I've been replaced.
If you brought your real camera, I'm going to replace you.
Don't chuckle too much when you take the picture.
The kids are, what have we come out with now? We've come out with knowing that Nachman does not succeed. He hasn't convinced us that our is the Machlot Rameir and Chachamim. But Yehuda Rishwal has succeeded. He has convinced us that Machlot Rameir and Chachamim. So our mission is only Rabbi Yehuda, who says Yachid Shasavar Bezdin Potter, but the Chachamim say Yachid Shasavar Bezdin is Chayiv, and therefore the Rambam and the other Rishonim pass like the Chachamim that Yachid Shasavar Bezdin is Chayiv, and that's what I want to talk about a little for the rest of this shiur, if you will allow me. Here, this creates a question, though. We could have asked this question earlier, which is, what about the Torah of Anus? Yeah. What about the Torah of Anus? After all, it's very nice that Machlok is the Yachid Shasavar Bezdin Chayiv or Potter. But in common sense, the guy should be Potter, because he didn't do anything wrong. A Shogeg, you forgot it was Shabbos. Okay, you should have remembered it was Shabbos. You should have checked if it was Shabbos. You didn't know that it was Asur to you didn't know that it was usher to, you know, take the shells out of the peanuts on Shabbos. Okay, you should have learned from Shabbos on Masa. You know, or at least the Lama Tesla book with the pictures. And you should have learned how to Shabbos. Most of these things, you know, if you didn't know, so you should have checked, right? But here, it's really not your fault. You're an honest. Like, what should you have done? Bezdin said it was mutter. What are you supposed to do? I mean, obviously, you're not supposed to found your own religion, right? So what are you supposed to do? Especially given the Rambam in Hilchos Shgagos, Perkei Halacha Vav, based on the Gemara in... Based on the Gemara in Masechta Shavuos, Gemara Masechta Shavuos says, a guy, what's the case? The guy was mishamish with his wife, and I don't want to prejudice myself. Okay, all of a sudden, she was anika. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case? If it's Mishas Desta when she was expecting her period, then clearly it's his fault. In the end, they say, yes, bring a carbon. He thought, but it's not going to come right now. Okay, but he made a mistake. He was negligent. There's a Shomo Mishas Desta. Right now, the time she's expecting her period. So the Gemara says, honest, what's he supposed to do? The Torah tells him to get married. Right? What's he supposed to do? It was just an unforeseen occurrence, which there was a chazaka that it would be okay, right? Cheskes Tara. Right? Cheskes Tara. Right? So he should assume that it's okay. Why is it his fault? And the Rambam says this very strongly in the fifth paragraph of Shgagos, Perek Vav. It says, "Habal ishto shlo mishas vesta v'rosa dam mishas tashmish, harei elu p'turim mikorban chatas." Why? Neishdek ha'anus, who it's anus, v'lo shogeg. Shas shogeg ha'yelu libdok l'daktik. Shogeg, the Rambam here gives you the rule. Shogeg means you should have checked. V'ilu badak yafe yafe v'dikim k'sheil zoli balidei shgagos. Shogeg means you should have checked. If you had checked very carefully, you wouldn't have done it. Shogeg means negligence. You didn't check. Now, we're not talking about Shmir Pachusa here. Maybe not Shmir Ma'ula. We're talking about Shmir Super Ma'ula. Right? To not do Amiros. Certainly Jehivai Kares, right? Which we're talking about in Karbanos. Okay, it's a big machlok that we're not getting into now. What about smaller Amiros? Is it also Shogeg so bad so you should have checked? What if it's not Chayiv Kares? Okay, that's machlok we're showing. But certainly for Jehivai Kares, you should have checked and double-checked and triple-checked. You woke up in the morning, you forgot it was Shabbos? No. You wake up in the morning, you should think about whether it's Shabbos, or you should make sure when you go to sleep at night that you're not going to forget Shabbos. When you wake up in the morning, I thought this was Mutter on Shabbos. Okay, if you didn't know Hilchos Shabbos perfectly, you should have taken time out of your busy schedule and gone through the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa and learned Hilchos Shabbos properly, etc., etc. Let me finish for a second. The official Tarek Badrish Vachakira Vacharfin Yasin Tarekapar. Why did he kapar? Fascinating question. The guy did it by accident. Why does he need kapara? Right, it was an accident. Right? Right? Okay, those of us who raise kids, right? It was an accident. Right? It's a p'tur. So why is it a good p'tur? The answer is, he's not chayav for the accident. He needs kapara because shol tarach madrisha v'chakira v'chakira. He didn't bother himself to double check. He didn't care. If you really care, you would have double checked. Right, what do they always say? I slept through many of them. We all got this Musar Shavuos when we were teenagers, right? If they were giving away $1 million to whoever was on time at 6:45 a.m., you would have been there at 6:30, at 5 o'clock, just to be on the safe side, right? Because it's important to you. Why do you sleep through Minyan? Because it wasn't important to you. So you slept through your alarm. My alarm clock didn't work. Your alarm clock didn't work. If they were giving away $1 million, your alarm clock would have worked. So that's what the Rambam says. Okay, we all remember that Musar Shavuos. Maybe some of us needed it, maybe some of us didn't need it, I'm not judging. But we all at least heard the Musar Shavuos. Yes?
What Drish and Chakira was he supposed to do if it was Shalom Shavuos Vesta?
No, that's exactly his point. So let's finish. So says the Rambam, Abol Zeh, but Shalom Shavuos Vesta, Malolatsos, what should he have done? Harry Torah, so Shalom Shavuos Vesta, but Lane Zeh Lo'ones, that's exactly, that's what he's putter. He's put Shavuos Vesta, he should have realized it was Shavuos Vesta. But Shalom Shavuos Vesta, she's not expecting a very, what was he supposed to do? Right? He says the Rambam, if you're not negligent, there's not something you should have checked, then you're not chayav a karban. That's kitlanus. It's not literally honest. No one forced you to do it.
But it's likely forced to do it because you had no way of accessing the knowledge that you shouldn't do it. Okay, now, let us... Here, this presents a question. Yachat she'asur maras bezdin, we paskin chayiv.
That's very good.
We paskin yachat she'asur maras bezdin is chayiv. What happened to the Ptur of Anus? What happened to the Ptur of Anus? And it makes sense. Like, what's he supposed to do? Bezdin said it was mutter. What's he supposed to... Again, I'm not talking here about the Echad Mehem or Talit Shigil or Ra and getting into that whole Hakir, etc. No, the regular guy, right? The regular guy, Bezdin said it was mutter.
That's right.
What's the regular guy supposed to do? He's an Anus. That is the question. Now, here, this brings up a very fascinating question, which is, what happens if... what are we talking about? We're talking here about sort of... it's not really. It's not really an onus. Why is it not really an onus? Let's review for a second. It's not really an onus. Onus means someone forced you to do it. Here, no one forced you to eat the chalef, but someone forced you to think it's mutter. Bezdin forced you to think it's mutter. So it's not a classic onus. Classic onus is, I held a gun to your head and forced you to eat the chalef. Avada your potter and carbon. There's nothing to talk about. Here, it's not that I forced you to eat the chalef, but I force you to think it's mutter. Not I. The halacha, the Torah, Hashem's system of the Torah forced you to think it's mutter. What about the intellectual onus of being forced to think it's mutter? What is the din? So here, is there a chiyuv karbon? A chiyuv karbon, let's even say better, chiyuv chatas. In case of intellectual onus forcing you to think it's mutter. Right? Great question. So let's look at the evidence. What is the evidence here? What is the evidence here? Well, here we have Haras Bezdin, and we paskin Chayav Lefi the Chachamim, right? Lefi the Chachamim. What other case do we have when there's really strong reason to think it's mutter and yet you're Chayav Karbon for doing it? Tinuk Shendeshva, that's a good one. What about Tinuk Shendeshva? Right, Tinuk Shendeshva, Chluk is Munbaz and the Chachamim, and we paskin Tinuk Shendeshva is Chayiv Chatas, right? Okay, good. Now you could say this is all Machluk Stanar, but at least the way we paskin, according to Chacham, you're Chayiv Chatas. And one more example. Alpi Bezdin, or even better, Alpi Eidin. Because Alpi Bezdin is a Ras Bezdin, maybe that's covered already. You're right, but we already put a Ras Bezdin. How about Isha Nis Alpi Eidin? And why is that better? Because, Morty, Isha Shenis Alpi Bezdin is a Machlokas, or even a Chachamim. Here it's not even a Machlokas, right? How about Isha Shenises Alpi Days Adim Shehi Idu Shabala Mace. She's Chayva Karma Lukuliyama. That's the mission at the beginning of Tarki Sharaba. So we seem to have a lot of evidence that intellectual onus is not a Ptur from Karbon. Physical onus is a Ptur from Karbon, but intellectual onus is not a Ptur from Karbon. Okay, anyone want to bring the evidence the other way? What cases do we have where we see that?
Actually, but the third one is really a more general ha'osel lefi ha'alacha chayav.
The first and third, even.
The
first and third. Correct. The first and third are even osel lefi ha'alacha. The second is not osel lefi ha'alacha. The first and third are osel lefi ha'alacha.
So okay. More general.
Correct.
It's not just intellectual onus. It's oselefi halacha, right? Here's Rashi. He's oselefi halacha. You're right. Right. Horas Pesin is following the halacha. Remember, if you're not a Talmud Rai Lagil or Ratz Pasha, you should follow Pesin, right? We have no lumdus about an Am Ha'aretz should follow Pesin, right? And following two Eidim, of course you're Oselefi Halacha. Doesn't the halacha say to follow two Eidim? Okay, anyone have any case in the opposite direction where you're Oselefi Halacha and you're Potter? So, here, it actually gets a little tricky. We have the Tosfos in Yevamos Daf Lamehe in the base. What does Tosfos say in Yevamos Lamehe in the base? Tosfos says, this is the case of Habiyabim, or Kones Yevinto, Benintes Luberis. Remember, someone's brother dies without kid, they have a big, big mitzvah, say to do Yibam. Okay, nowadays we don't say that. However, if his brother does have kids, then it's a Chiyuv Karis of Eishes Achiv, Shalom Mako Mitzvah. So what if his brother dies, a week later he says, I'm Zriza Matimil Mitzvah, doing Mitzvah Yibam, and he marries his brother's widow, and it turns out she's pregnant from her brother and has a baby, and the brother actually does have kids. Then he did b'shogeg. He did not bear a chiyuv karis and spring a karba. First, the Mishnah says Tosos, what if he waited 3 months? And the Gemara says you're supposed to wait 3 months. After you wait 3 months, it's very clear in the Gemara you're allowed to do yibam. Why? Because if she was pregnant, you would notice. Hukar uber is 3 months. In 3 months, you notice if someone's pregnant or not. Not me. I don't notice someone's pregnant until they're at least 8.5 months. But my wife notices someone's pregnant there for 3 months. So the doctor can notice you're pregnant, or the midwife after 3 months. So says Tosfos, and they quote Tosfos in the Ramban, it's another Rishonim in the Ritva there also. Says Tosfos, what if after 3 months he saw she wasn't pregnant and did Yibam? And then it turns out, you know what? She was pregnant. And it was just this really rare case where the pregnancy didn't show until 5 months. She really was pregnant. It was just so weird, for some weird reason, it didn't show. So, now he's done an Isser of Eishes Achiv Shelo B'Macha Mitzvah. She has a baby. Okay. So the other dead brother had a kid. So, is he Chayav a Karban? Says Tosos and the Ramban. No, he's not Chayav a Karban. Why? Because he's Anus. Because Halacha told him that she wasn't pregnant after 3 months. Why? If a woman doesn't look pregnant after 3 months, she's not pregnant. Once in 1,000 times, she could be pregnant, and you won't notice till 4 months. But, so here we have someone who actually based on Halacha says after 3 months, do Yibam. Right? How about Kones Yevinto? Achar Gimel Chadashim. The Ninses Meuberes. He was acting al pi halacha in this case. Basically, every case about Tinush and Ishva. Ninses Meuberes. All the Rishonim who discuss it say, no Rishonim say otherwise. I know of no Rishonim who say Chayiv explicitly. You could posit, and the current order does.
But in that case, he has a hue.
Okay, hold that thought. Great. Okay, so that's one case where we see, no, I act based on the intellectual klolim of halacha, based hurrah, rov, edim, etc. And I'm putter, and I know who's going to flip this, but say, hold on, here I acted based on edim, and I'm chayev. Here it's only based on rov. Rov is less than edim. I'm still putter. Very strange.
Is that
gimel chadashim or achar chadashim? Gimel chadashim. After three full chadashim. Not in the third. After three. And the other case that all the chronim here are discussing is the question of bol ishto shelo b'shas vesta, right? What about bol ishto shelo b'shas vesta? So what happens in this case? So ba'al ishto shelo b'shas vesta. And that's clearly, there's a heter balish of Shlomo Shas Vesta. Okay, so there's a whole machlokas Rishonim about some of the details, but clearly, at least in many cases, the Karona certainly mutter, Valisha Shlobishas Nesta, and explains the, what do they quote from the Russian, the Maharam, I think this is who everyone quotes here, right? Says the right here, the question is what's exactly the case? Bal Ishna Shlomishas Vesto, and I tried to be vague in my language. And what happens? And it turns out she was a Nida, or she becomes a Nida in the middle of Tashmish. Right? It's not clear exactly what the case is. So what's the case? Bal Ishna Shlomishas Vesta. The Umatzadam. Let's say she finds blood, right? Find blood during the Tashmish, right? Let's say he finds blood during the Tashmish, right? I'm not getting to all the details that are relevant to us. Clearly, he is Potter, the Gemara says, Potter Misham Anus. The Gemara says, Potter Misham Anus. Potter because of Anus. Tosfos here also says, Potter because of Anus, right? Now, what exactly is the case here? Here, there are two ways of doing the case. Says the Shulchan Aruch, in technical Brahma, that explains the Rosh Maharam and the Rama in the Shulchan Aruch say Afilu Lo Badka Kodem Tashmish. Even if she didn't check herself before Tashmish, it was mutter to engage in Tashmish as long as it's not Shas Vesta. She's not expecting her period. Why? Tell me what rule permitted them to engage in Tashmish without checking? Chazaka! Right? Do you have to check every Chazaka? No. A Chazaka is a Chazaka. You don't have to check every minute. Right? Based on Chazaka's Tara. So if they checked, then even if they didn't check, and it turns out she was in need that hour ago, maybe. You know, doesn't matter. He was relying on Chazaka. It's okay. He's an Anus. He was relying on a valid Chazaka. The Kesef Mishnah suggests, right? He suggests in a ambiguous language, right? He doesn't say for sure. I know the Noda Yehuda deals with this Rav Zev, someone who, Rav Wolf, same person, who he's corresponding with, or I forget the last name, it's written there. Who suggested this? But it's really the Kesef Mishnah. It's also the Kesef Mishnah wrote this in the Beis Yosef. He says that after the Hadachah Dafka Shabadka, says the Kesef Mishnah, together Efshar, not for sure. He says Ulai Rak in Badka Atzma Kodim Tashmish. Maybe even if she was Bodek herself before Tashmish. Maybe only if she was, but if she checked before Tashmish, then what happened? If she checked before Tashmish, what's the problem? Okay, she got her period in the middle of Tashmish. Okay, let's keep that in mind. One other case, which I put in brackets, but everyone discussed here, the famous Shut Rashba. What does Shut Rashba say? He says, what about a woman who commits adultery because, not the case of Yavamas, she committed adultery because she thought her husband died. She commits adultery because Bezdin Paskin that she was never married. Bezdin Paskin that she had no kiddushin. And then she marries someone else, sleeps with this other guy. And then all of a sudden it turns out Bezdin was wrong. She really was kiddushin, the first guy. Which biblical story does he quote in this respect? I mean, it's not all this not written in the Tanakh. Exactly. David and Michal. What happened? David married Michal with Milvah and Pruta. And Bezdin of Shol Paskin Milva Pruta Daita Milva, that if you he gave a Pruta and he forgave a debt. That's Milva Pruta. Shol had a big debt to him, plus he gave a Pruta. So he's Mekadosh with forgiveness of a big debt and one Pruta of currency. So Bezdin of Shol says the Iker is the Milva, Mekadosh Milva in Kadesh, not in Kadesh, and therefore gave her to Palti Bilaish. And it turns out, really, that Milva Pruta Daita Pruta, that the Pruta is the Iker, she wasn't Kadeshes. So how could you go back to David? After all, she committed adultery, slept with Palti Ben Maish, says the Shut Rashba. All the Achronim say that they don't understand this question. If you're, the Midrash says that Palti Ben Maish never actually slept with her. Put a sword in the middle of bed as Mephisa. But, okay, apparently he didn't know that Midrash, or he wasn't Masha that Midrash. Okay, so he says, must have been Ba'ones. What's the Ones? Maybe Ba'ones, they forced her. Okay, if they forced her Ba'ones, then Ones are going to Patre. Or a second answer, it was Ones because Bezdin Paskin that it wasn't a valid Kiddushin. But Ras Bezdin is Ba'ones, so it's Mutter. Okay, so here we have another example of, hold on a second, let's write this in here. What about, but says the Rashba that the Horas Bezdin Kmo Michal Bashol is considered Anusa. And that's why she's Materis to go back to David. Okay, that's going to be a little tricky because that seems to, the Taze asked, that seems to go against Arsa. So let's see what's really Pshat. What is really Pshat? What's the real answer? Is an intellectual onus an onus or is it not an onus? Meaning, no one forced you to do it. They forced you to believe it's okay. Is that an onus or is that not an onus? What do we say? So, what are the possibilities here? excuse me. And what if, especially if you were following the halacha, right? What if intellectual onus and following the halacha, right? An intellectual onus and in almost all these cases following the halacha. Okay, so what's pshat? What derech does the Karen Ora take? Which is, okay, I wrote one of the modern day post who states that. What does the Karen Ora think? Karen Ora in Yevamos says very, very clearly, he says that. Correct. He says that an intellectual onus does not potter you. One derech is, you know what, let's just give. Okay. Let's give letters. A, B, or. B, C, D, E, F. Says the Karen Ora. One derech is the Karen Ora. Says the Karen Ora. He is very, very clear. He says he has two formulations. We'll explain what the difference is in a moment. Either this is not called an onus, or if it is called an onus, this kind of onus doesn't pop you from a carpet. Right? But basically, he says this does not pop you. No one forced you to do it. It doesn't pop you from a carbon. Says the Karen Ora, you are chayav chatas because it's not because no one forced you to do it. You were forced to believe it was mutter. Okay, you made a mistake. Being forced to make a mistake is not the same as being forced to do it. You did it by mistake, because no one forced you to do it. Shogeg is shogeg, even if the halacha made you a shogeg. I follow the halacha. I was only shogeg because I followed the halacha. I followed two Eidim, I followed Rav, I followed Chazak, I followed Ora. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a shogeg because you on your own made a mistake, or you're a shogeg because the halacha made you make a mistake. Lamaisa, you made a mistake, right? Lamaisa, you made a mistake, even if the halacha made you a shogeg, and therefore, what works well? That's basically, what's the big rayos? The big rayos are Tinuch Shanishba, which I'm not going to deal with so much. That's not a halacha force you. But Tinuch Shanishba, even though circumstances force you to make a mistake. Right? It was circumstance, not the halacha. Tinuch Shanishba, what do you mean? Captivity forced you to make a mistake. Doesn't matter. You made a mistake. What was the mistake? You thought you were a guy and you were a Jew. Right? Or you didn't know the halacha, or whatever the case would be. Okay, I know, I'm even going to leave. Maybe I'll leave Tinuch Shanishba out a little. We'll just mention about that. But the two main rayas are, keep in mind, this is a strong case. The two main rayas are the mefurish gemaras, not the things that are just the rishonim. It's mefurish gemaras that two eidim tell you it's mutter to marry this man and sleep with him, and you do it, you're chayav chatas, because you were ishus es rishonim. And if Bez and Agadol tells you you can eat this chaylev and you eat it, you're chayav chatas, because you ate chaylev rishonim. Two eidim and Bez and Agadol are like the biggest authorities in halacha, right? If you follow anything, you follow two Eidim. If you follow anything, you follow Bez and Agadol. Those are the strongest reasons to do something. And yet, you're Chayav HaChatas. Okay, he's really glad here. I also mentioned, brought this Mamdi Mishnah, he takes the other. That's the Karen Ora, sorry. Okay, what about everything else? What is the Karen Ora going to do with everything else? So everything else you can get out of it. How do you get out of everything else? So how about what about B? What about the Shabrashba? So that's where he has two formulations. If you didn't cop this immediately, I don't blame you. I read it 10 times before I caught exactly what he was saying, so it might have taken you 3 or 4 times. He says he doesn't think Atzonis, the Shabrash was wrong. He's not the first who said the Shabrash was wrong. The Taz says the Shabrash was wrong. What did the Taz say? The Ramah quotes the Shabrashba. If Bez and Paskin, she could remarry, then... Then she's an anusa. She hasn't done anything wrong. Bez and Paskin, these are Maisim B'chol Yom. You should know, these are Maisim B'chol Yom. There's a woman, right? Half of the Rav Moshe Emunezer, he mastered a woman to remarry. Okay, sometimes it is. Where is he possibly Kedushin? She went to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein is Bez Din says, your Kedushin were invalid. It was a reform ceremony, whatever. You could marry someone else without a get. Right? And what if it turned out he was wrong? So says the Ramah, she can go back to her first husband. She's not, or she can stay with the Boa, right? Muteris Lepal, Muteris Lepal. She didn't do anything wrong. She's a Nusa based on Sakhar Moshe Feinstein. Says the Taz, that's the most ridiculous thing ever. It's against the Goren Horios. That's Rabbi Yehuda says, Asma Ras Bezin is Potter. Rabbi Yehuda says, Asma Ras Bezin is Potter. But who's telling Rabbi Yehuda, Asma Ras Bezin is Potter? We pass like the Chum that Asma Ras Bezin is Chayav. And therefore, the easiest way is either, that's his first day. Pasak Taz. Neged Rashba in the Ramah. Sha'asura Lebaal Ulaboel. Right? That's one option. Or, what about Paltig and Layish? So either that was physical forcing, or simpler, what did the Taz say? He says, what do you mean? You know one medrash, you don't know the other medrash? Where'd you get the whole Milva Pruta thing? From the Gemara. So you should have read more Gemaras. The Gemara says that Balbi and Laia, she was never slept with her, and she never did anything wrong. And he just pretended he married her, so she wouldn't come. But he put a sword in the bed. And why did he cry when they took Michal away from him? He cried because he's now losing the zechus of passing the Nisayan of refraining from Nevira that he did for so long. Okay, so, or you could say something much easier. And here, I have to admit, I don't understand why anyone had a problem with this Shabrashba in the first place so much. Who says that the standards of Korban Chatas are the same as the standards for Isser Sota, Lavalu Laboel? I don't understand this Taz, I have to admit. The Ramah says she's Anusa, because of Horus Bezdin. Taz says that's ridiculous, against the Goren Horius. Okay, I do understand the Taz. He says, what do you mean? You can't say Horus Bezdin is Anusa, it's against the Goren Horius. That's exactly what Goren Horius says. Rashba's wrong. Am I responsible for every wrong Rashba? Just because it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch? No, the Taz says it's wrong. The other option is no. It's a different Gedder of Anus. Who says the Gedder of Anus for Perchatas is the same as the Gedder of Anus to be Matra a woman? After all, says the Rambam, in Hilchos Isha's Perkhov Dal, let me simplify. How about Shogeg? Is Shogeg Chayav Chatas? Not a trick question? Yes, that's the main point. The Shogeg is Chayav. How about Shogeg? Is Shogeg Asur to her husband? Now here this gets very tricky. What kind of Shogeg? There's a famous Shot Ma'arik, but let me read you a Rambam. Says the Rambam in Isha's Perkhov Dal, Halachi Yotes, I hope. Says the Rambam, Ha'isha shezinsa tachas bailo bishgaga over onis. Harizim muteris. The Rambam says, obviously, the standards for sota, for eishes ish, for yos eishes ish, are different than standards for chatas. Chatas shogeg is chayav, and only an onus mamish is potter. By eishes ish, even a shogeg is muteris. What does it mean shogeg is muteris? If she thinks it's okay to commit adultery, that's Muteris. The Ma'arik says, no. That's like it's your shogeg. She purposely betrayed her husband, even if she didn't know the halacha. What does that mean? That means that if she heard her husband died and remarried, she's Muteris because she's a shogeg. Doesn't the Mishnah say she's Asur? That's a special Zeriz Banan she's Asur because we told she clear love a sofa, he killed with Tilasa without getting into that sukkah. But classic shogeg, right? A Shlomas Bas Divri kind of shogeg. She, it was very dark in the middle of the night.
And she thought this guy was her husband. The guy snuck into her house. She thought it was her husband and he wasn't, right? Shlomit bat Divri, that's what the Medrash says after her. Right? She thought it was her husband and he wasn't. Classic shogeg, right? Not the funny case in Yevamos when they had special rules about Eidos that her husband died. Not a case where she was really an evil person who was making excuses like the case of Maharich says, I thought adultery was okay. No, real shogeg. Right? Real shogeg. Oh, she could have checked and double-checked. She could have checked and double-checked, but she didn't. You know. So the Rambam says, Tasha, that she's a terrorist. There's no issur. So therefore, don't bring me any answer. You can accept the Shuk Rashba and there's nothing to do with us. And this is the two deus in the Keren Ora. Either he says it's not called anus against the Shuk Rashba, or it is called anus to matter the woman. But it's not called anus to matter for a carbon. Just say very simple. Different standards. Says this type of anus, is equivalent to shogeg. And what do we say by shogeg? Shogeg is, of course, chayav achatas, but ishazinsa is muteris b'shogeg, and if you want to know where he gets it from, the Rambam Ishus Chaf Dalad Yotes. There's a lot of literature on this. I'm saying I'm quoting the first Rambam, which is generally accepted by the poskim. There's many exceptions. I don't care if there's many exceptions. This is the rule, right? And all the exceptions have a special reason for them to be exceptions. So says the Keren Ora, either the Rashba is wrong. No, there's no excuse. That's not an excuse. Or it is an excuse to make her, not us, or as an adulteress. Because even Shogeg is not an adulteress. It only names it mamish us, or as an adulteress. But that doesn't pot you from Karban. It just brings it down to Shogeg. When there must, the Rashba, there must say honest here, they mean honest like Shogeg. So by Karban, it doesn't pot you from Karban, it just pots you from Isser Sota. So they can get out of this very easily. Okay, how do they get out of the other cases? I see the hour is late. Okay, let's just briefly point out that how do you get out of these other cases. So also he has two ways of getting out of this case. Either he would say that maybe the Rambam is cholek on Tosos and the Rabban, Umachayev. Here he's suggesting. See, maybe the Rambam would say you're chayev, and there is no Torah. After all, the Gemara doesn't say Potter, only the Tosos did. Maybe the Rambam disagree. Okay, but that's not so strong because maybe it's not beforeish. Or he says Pasha, no, this is a special rule. What's the special rule? Of Toeh Bidvar Mitzvah. There's a special Torah of Toeh Bidvar Mitzvah. Yibma's a mitzvah. When there's a mitzvah, then there's an extra Torah that you're doing a mitzvah and you got confused. There's a special Torah. But that's not just because whoever follows halacha that unis to pater. That's only when you're doing a mitzvah, not when you're doing a neutral act. So that's a special exception. What would he do with case number F of Baal Ishto Bit Shas Vesta. Shalom Shas Vesta. I mean, well, here he doesn't say. He doesn't say what we do with Baal Ishto Shalom Shas Vesta. So here, I have another two possibilities. Anyone want to tell me what he would do? What? Exactly. So I would say one of two things. And Mati, of course, is basing himself on the Gemara that compares these two cases, right? In Buzzes, Bine, etc. Right? You remember that Gemara. If you don't remember it from 5 years ago, you remember it from 25 years ago. I think he could say two things. Brackets means he's not saying I'm saying. One thing you could say is that make it okimta demairi b'shas mitzvahs ona. V'ta'a Bidvar mitzvah. Make an okimta. Why was he Baal Ishto? He wasn't Baal Ishto stam. He was Baal Ishto in the time of the mitzvah of Ona. And when he was trying to do the mitzvah of Ona, that is a Toa Bidvar mitzvah. Right? It's not so posh to make an okimta. It's more than making an okimta. The other option is very simple. You could just say, this is against the Shulchan Aruch though, you could just say that Yesh Lomar Kekeseth Mishnah against the Rush, the Maharam,
and the Ramah, who I think is the one who brings down the Shulchan Aruch, if I'm not mistaken, if you say like the Kesef Mishnah, you have to Ramah on the Shulchan Aruch, then it's no problem. What's the case of the Kesef Mishnah? The case of the Kesef Mishnah is not a case of intellectual onus. Kesef Mishnah says she checked before Tashmish and she was not a Nida. What happened? In the middle of Tashmish, the blood started flowing. In the middle of Tashmish, it's not an intellectual onus of thinking the wrong thing. That's a physical onus. That's mamash, someone forcing you. What's the difference if I hold a gun to your head and I force you to eat something? Or if the blood comes out and forces you in the middle? That's a physical onus, not an intellectual onus. A guy was boiled his wife. She was totally tahora. There were no mistakes. There were no mistakes involved. He was boiled his wife. She was tahora. All of a sudden, blood came and attacked them in the middle of Tashmish. Okay, that is a physical onus. If something comes and attacks you, a physical thing comes and attacks you, I know it didn't attack you in a physical way, it attacked you in a halachic way, but that is not an intellectual onus that we're talking about. That's mamish, that's as if to say, I'm eating, what if I'm eating my kosher sandwich, and in the middle, someone sticks a piece of chelev down my throat with the sandwich. That's not an intellectual mistake that we're talking about here. That's a physical onus. Same thing here. He's bola Torah woman. In the middle, the blood made her become a nida. Okay? That's not a mistake that he thought was mutter. That is a physical onus. If so, if you say this way, then it's a physical onus. And a physical onus is a different part. So yeah, when a physical onus is not a mistake, there's no mistake. He was bola Torah woman, she was a Torah woman. Then, a surprise, it's not a mistake. A mistake means I don't know what I'm doing when I do it. If I know what I'm doing, and then someone changes it on me by doing something beyond my control, that's, again, that's like I'm eating a sandwich and someone sticks chilev down my throat. That's a physical illness, not an intellectual. Oh, I decided to swallow on my own? Yeah, I decided to swallow something mutter without any mistake, and then you stuck chilev down my throat. That's a physical illness. I decided to bowl a woman who was mutter, and then the blood came in the middle. That's a physical illness, not an intellectual illness, and therefore, maybe that case is different, or you could say that, you know, that's a case where it would just be impossible to find out. And we only say an intellectual onus is high if it would be possible to find out, but not if we know. If it's impossible to know, okay, so we will have to, or you could say something else, okay, we'll have to continue our discussion next time. I apologize for going late, so we'll just have to finish up this very, very important discussion next time. We'll have to see the opinion of Yehuda, we'll have to see the opinion of Rav Menashe Klein, Zatzal. We'll have to see how the Mishnah Melech fits in. So we'll finish that off next time, and then we will go on the Ezrat Hashem.
Are you able to send out the
Amir Hashem? Yes,
it's very important to me.
I know it
it's
is.
It's murder otherwise.
I know.
And
on
Tuesday was
murder.
Also
murder. Well, no, murder is a strong lashon.
That's how I'm being
accused of murder.
Yes.
Okay.
I have three things that I want to say. First of all, I'm going to be on the news, not in the news.